Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. You're all very welcome on this damp, miserable morning, but nonetheless, it's a bit milder and the frost has lifted, but it was nice too, wasn't it? It was good to see you all gathering this morning, and a very warm welcome to visitors. If you're joining with us this morning, feel free to sign the visitor's book in the vestibule. And equally, if you're joining with us online, good morning to you wherever you are, and welcome to First Rathfrieland. I have just some announcements to make in advance of this morning's service, so just bear with me for just a couple of moments and I'll be as quick as I can. Just a reminder to say that on Wednesday evening, the 14th of this incoming week, midweek prayer meeting and Bible study will recommence here in the church hall, in the Morrison room at 8 p.m. And then on Thursday morning, that's the 15th, Thursday fellowship commences at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the speaker will be Mr. Gordon Wallace. Thursday, GB meets as usual at the usual times, as does BB on Friday evening at the usual times also. Then next Sunday, that's the 18th, prayer meeting in the minor hall at 11 a.m, followed by morning worship here at 11:30, and the Reverend Moody will conduct that service. Next Sunday evening, a reminder to say that the churches together will meet, and that meeting at 6:30 p.m. will indeed be in Glasgow Presbyterian Church. So if you just make me know that in your diary, it's always good to gather together as congregations. So Glasgow next Sunday evening at 6:30, churches together. And that'll be followed here at 8 p.m. by Youth Fellowship, and that'll be in the Morrison Room. Now, there are some dates coming up ahead, and I'll just note one at this stage, just to say that on Tuesday the 20th, PW meeting at 7:30, and the guest speaker will be from the Ark in Newcastle. We'll say more about that later on. There should have been a printed announcement sheet today, but that time beat us this week, but we will upload all of the announcements onto social media and to the WhatsApp group. We will have a printed one for the congregation for next Sunday morning. Just to say too, the men's fellowship plan to go to Newcastle on the 24th of January for a coffee morning, and that will be leaving at the church here at 9:30 a.m. Now, I think maybe last week I did say that the church committee would meet tomorrow evening. That's not the case, but there will be a finance committee meeting on Monday the 26th of January. So if you've already noted in your diary about a meeting tomorrow evening, that's not happening, but the finance committee meeting, all been well, will take place on Monday the 26th of January. Just an announcement from the treasurer to say that could all treasurers of each of the church organisations have their annual accounts with him as soon as possible and before the end of January, if that is possible. And also if each treasurer could accompany their details along with a copy of the December bank statement, that would be very useful. So thank you for that. And finally, there are still some FW envelopes in the vestibule. If you haven't got your envelope, take a wee look on the table out there. And equally, if you could ask maybe session and committee to have a look what's left on the table, and if you could help distribute those, that would be very helpful. So thank you in advance for doing that. These are all the announcements. And as we come to worship this morning, we think about the words from Psalm 46. And this is what it says from verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And then in 47 it says this: clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all of the earth. And we give thanks to God for these wonderful words and for us to think about and ponder over this morning. And we come together now singing our first item of praise. We sing "The Lord is My Shepherd," and it's the Getty version.
My shepherd, I am not want. He
If you have your Bible handy, I'd encourage you to open it up and join with me in the reading from Isaiah. And it's Isaiah chapter 43, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 26. And if you don't have the Bible with you, that's fair enough. Maybe you've got an app on the phone. Feel free to open up the phone and follow on. Or indeed, the words, all been well, will be on the screen. So it's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 26. Sorry, I've given you the wrong verses there. 14 to 26, my apologies. 14 to 26. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He was made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and the streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself. And they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, not honored to me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not brought any fragrant camels for me, or lavished me with fat of your sacrifice. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Amen. We pray indeed that the Lord will bless to each of our hearts the public reading of his word here this morning. Now, you can ask all the young people, the boys and girls, to come down to the front. And Colin Boyd is going to come forward and have a wee chat with you. And thanks to Colin for his help this morning. So just come on down, make your way down as usual to the front here, and Colin will meet you there.
Well, good morning.
Dear.
I'll try that again. Good morning. Oh, good, good. You're alive. That's good. That's good. Right. Good to see you all at Sunday school and at church this morning. And I want to start by asking you a question. If you look up at the screen, you'll see a wee question. What's the question? I'm going to make you work this morning because, you know, you have to interact. So, what's that question say? What is it? Alison. What's the plan? Okay. So what is the plan? Did you make any plans this morning when you got up? No? No plans at all? You didn't plan to get up and come down the stairs and go and get your breakfast? You didn't plan that? No? Did that just happen? Or were you still sleeping at that point when you come down the stairs? Did you plan to get your clothes on? I don't see any is in your pajamas, so you must have planned to get your good Sunday clothes on, did you? So already, we're only halfway through today and you've made loads and loads of plans, which is brilliant. Now, who can remember what the story was last week when Rodney was up at the front here? Anybody remember? No? We're going through the story about David and about Saul. And if you remember last week, Saul was sleeping, do you remember? And David went and he stole his spear to prove that he could have killed him, but he didn't kill him. And this week we're going to talk a wee bit more about David, because Saul died. And when Saul died, David became king. Now, I can't get this to move on, and I may be doing something wrong. There we are. And if you remember way before Christmas, a long time ago now, can't remember whether it was me or maybe it was Heather, we talked about David getting anointed by a man. And what was that man's man called? Anybody remember? Begin with S. He was a prophet? No? Yep. Samuel, yes. Samuel anointed David whenever he was a young boy. We don't know what age he was. He was probably maybe 15 or might have been younger. And this was a plan of God. Remember, we're talking about plans. So God had a plan for David many, many, many years ago, even before he became king. So in the Bible, we see plans being made all the time, because God knows everything, doesn't he? He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me and everybody in the whole world, because he is sovereign. And God made a covenant with David. And this covenant that he would one day become king. Now, we don't know exactly what age he was, but they reckon David became king whenever he was about 30. Okay, so he's still a very young man, and he became king. Now, I want to ask you a question now and get this to come up. It should come up here. Not going to come. Could you move the next one on, Jordan? Yeah. Have any of you ever seen this before? No. The clue's in the bottom. What's it called? Can anybody read that out for me? You read that out, Harry?
The Ark of the Covenant.
Ark of the Covenant, yes. This is the Ark of the Covenant. Have you ever heard of it before? No? You maybe might have seen it in a film. Who can remember? Maybe this is maybe one for the older ones. It would have been mentioned in a probably 80s film, was it? Or 90s? 80s probably. Film. Who can, I've been in the congregation, remember? Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I think it was in, yeah. And this was used in the film, probably not true to the Bible, but it was in it. To a certain extent it was true. But the Ark of the Covenant was something very, very special in the Old Testament. Now, it held a few things inside. And does anybody know what was inside the Ark of the Covenant? No? No? That's a hard one now. I'll put it on one. Anybody in the congregation know? Yeah, the Ten Commandments, the two tablets were in it. There was two other things in it. Manna, yeah. An iron. Well done, John. I'm glad you're here. That's the three things that were supposed to be in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ten Commandments and move her on one, Jordan. Yeah. And these were all symbols. Important symbols. Now, we'll not go into what the symbols really meant. You all know what the Ten Commandments are. The jar of manna, maybe should do it very briefly just for everybody else's benefit. The jar of manna was to signify when the children went through the desert, how God looked after his people, and he fed the people with manna. It was a kind of bread. And then Aaron's staff, okay, it was a rod or a staff which he led the children through, and it's just another significance of how the people came to be through the wilderness over the 40 years. Now, David, whenever he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he forgot about God, and the people forgot about God, and they didn't do what God says. And sometime, if you have spare time, if you read in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, you'll see that he didn't do things right. And the wrong people carried the covenant and things didn't go well. And you know, there's a lesson in that for us, because we need to do what God tells us to do, don't we? We need to be obedient to God at all times. And this story tells us that even David forgot how to do that and sort of forgot about God. And whenever he took his eye off God and the people took their eye off God, things started to go wrong in battles and different things. Okay, so we must always remember to live for God and do what he tells us to do, because it matters to God how we live our lives, and he expects us to be obedient and to honour him at all times in everything that we do. And how can we do that? And what helps us to do that? What can we do, Pippa? Yep. What do we do?
Pray.
Good. Yes, we can pray to him. We can, what we were doing just before I came up, when David was reading from the Bible, we can read the Bible, okay? And we can help others. So God wants us to live our lives close to him at all times. It's very important. Okay. Whenever David started to obey God again, things started to get better. And here's just a photograph of the priests. There was a number of high priests, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant to its resting place in Jerusalem. And this was very, very significant, because David, he wanted the people to realize who God was, and that God was special, and he was to be the center of their lives at all times. And this was why this was so, so important, that the Ark would be carried and that the Ark would rest in Jerusalem. And if we just read that the Ark, it didn't really have any power within itself, because it was just a box, probably made of something very special. And it had symbols inside it. But it was to symbolize the power of God and the power of what God can do, and not never to forget what he can do for us in our lives. Now, so why did King David bring the Ark to Jerusalem? Pippa? It's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah. So they wouldn't forget about God, wasn't it? Yeah. So they wouldn't forget about God, and that he would be always there at all times. And he wanted the people to realize that God's presence was at the center of their lives each and every day. And you know, that's very important for us each day, to make God the center of our lives and everything that we do. You know, and we sit in church, and you know, a church is just, I wouldn't say it's just a building, but you know what I mean. It's just wood, and it's made of blocks, and it's made of, there's a roof, and there's all this stuff. But what makes a church special is God's people coming together to worship him, and to realize God's presence whenever we're speaking to him. So churches are a special place, but only if we make it special, and only if we put God first in our lives. So today I want you to remember the story, and when you go out to Sunday school, you'll hear that unfold a wee bit more with your teachers about the Ark of the Covenant and what happened. And just remember that it was very, very special. And it was very special what was inside the Ark of the Covenant. So do remember that God gave us that, and God gives us everything that we have so that we can know him better. So thank you for listening. My apologies, I forgot sweets today, so I'll have to remember next week to get you something. So no sweets today, sorry. We're going to sing a hymn, Margaret, which remind me again, Liz. God is so good. So you all know this one, so I want to hear you out singing out really nice and loud, okay? So we'll all stand up and sing God is so good.
Good to see the young people out again, isn't it? After the wee break at Christmas time. And thanks again to Colin for helping and leading with the children's address. And it's our opportunity now to come before God in prayers. We bring to him our prayers of intercession. So let's just quieten ourselves, bow our heads and close our eyes and unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, with grateful and thankful hearts. Lord, we give you thanks for this, your day, the day, Lord, that has been set aside specifically by you, a day of rest, where we can come and solely focus on you, to think about you, to pray to you, to worship you, and to honor and adore you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come in here to this place, a place that is specifically built for the purpose, as Colin says, of bringing your people together in fellowship. Father, we thank you for that, this opportunity that we have to come before you, a time, Lord, when we can just really knock everything off the outside world out of our heads, out of our minds, and to come in here and to solely think about you and to worship you. Father, our prayer this morning is that as we meet here and as we gather here together, that all that is said and done in this place is indeed to glorify your wonderful name, that there's no personal gain unto for us, but to honor and glorify you, the one and only true and living God. Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you for the people that has gathered, and we thank you for our church family. We thank you for those who have been able to make it in here this morning. What a joy it is to see so many people gathering into this place of worship. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless the people here. Bless each one individually. Bless each family as they meet here. And bless each head that's bowed, Lord. And we thank you for each one here. We're mindful, Father God, of many who are not here, unable to be here through other commitments or maybe attending other churches or maybe because of illness or disability. Father, our minds are very much drawn to those people who we know and love who are just unable to be here because of an illness. Father, we pray this morning for all of those who are in our minds and in our hearts, those who are finding today just a little bit difficult, a little bit challenging, and maybe they feel that there's no hope. Father God, we just pray this morning that you will draw close to each one, Lord. Draw to each person that's known to us, Lord, who is at home ill and unwell, maybe someone in a hospital bed waiting for treatment, Lord. We raise them up and lift them up to you. And we ask you, Father God, that you will wrap your arms of love around them and reassure them of your comforting care and presence. We think of those within our church family that continue to feel the pain of bereavement. Lord, as we just have entered a new year, Lord, and just have been through a period of family gatherings and celebrations, Lord, we're mindful that there are many folk, Lord, known to us within church life, within our local community, who are just struggling to get their heads above water because of recent bereavements. Lord, they're always in our thoughts and prayers. And even though we may not say it personally to them on every occasion when we meet them, Lord, our thoughts and prayers are with those who continue to grieve. That empty chair, that photograph that remains in the mantelpiece is a reminder of a life that was once lived. But Father God, we know you're a gracious God. You're one who cares for us, each one of us, just as a shepherd would care for the flock and each single sheep. And Lord, we know that you know each of our issues and each of our problems, and You know us individually and personally because you tell us in your word that you even know the numbers of hairs in our heads because you made us and you shaped us. So our prayer this morning, Father God, is with those who are just have got a heavy heart this morning, Lord. Draw close to them and wrap your arms of love around them too, Father God, because they do find things quite difficult. Lord, we thank you for our church family and how we can support one another in when we meet together here in the Sunday morning or through the various subgroups that we have that meet throughout the week. Lord, we just thank you that we all have this opportunity to draw close to our friends and our family and those within our church family, Lord. It's great that we can show that support to one another. And we thank, Lord, too, we thank you for our community, this wonderful little community of Rathfrey Island, Lord, this little place that's set on a hill. And we pray, Father God, that we as a congregation of people who are believers in you and people who take a great joy from reading your word and a great joy in knowing that your word is sovereign and that you are in control, and we believe that, Lord. And help us, Father God, as we step beyond the gates of this place, that we can exercise that and we can share that with other people. Lord, our prayer this morning is that each of us will be positive, outward, and engaging with those who we meet, Lord. That we will be beacons of light, beacons of hope, people who are happy and content to share your word with those around us. So, Father, give us strength, give us courage, and give us encouragement that we too can share your gospel, your word, with those around us. Don't let us be silent. Help us to open our mouths and open our lips, Lord, that we can speak of you and to give other folk around us hope, hope for their future. And Father God, we're just mindful as we meet here today and of the many things that are in each of our hearts and in our minds that perhaps sometimes distract us from having that full and open and warm relationship with you, because we rely sometimes too much on ourselves and our own thinking. And we think that we're in control, that we can sort and resolve things ourselves, but Lord, we know that's not true, because only you are the one who sets the agenda. You are the one that holds the key for tomorrow. And so, Father God, just as we meet here this morning and in our pews, Lord, and as we bow our heads before you, Father God, we want to bring to you the things that are on our minds today. Things that perhaps we need to share with you. And even though you know it, Lord, you still encourage us to talk to you in prayer, just as a child would speak to his father or mother. We too bring to you, our Heavenly Father, the things that are in our minds this morning. Lord, we thank you for the gifts and the offerings that have been placed before us this morning, Lord. We pray, Father God, that they will indeed be well used for the advancement of your gospel and kingdom, both here in this place and to the ends of the earth. Lord, be with us always, praying as you taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so we're going to join together now by singing another lovely hymn of praise. Great is thy faithfulness. For just a few moments this morning, I want us to think about the topic that you see on the screen here, a new year, a new challenge, and a new hope. And it says in Isaiah 43:18-19 that we read together earlier, this is what it says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" And I suppose my thinking really is about the idea of us entering into a brand new year. A new year. And our hearts, I suppose, are filled with reflection and anticipation. And for just a few seconds this morning, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want you to just look around this place, look around this building, and those who are gathered in church this morning, and just think to yourself about all the people here this morning that God has a purpose for you and for me this year. It's not simply amazing. Despite what's going on in our minds and in our hearts right now, whether we're feeling upbeat, positive, maybe a bit sad, lonely, maybe depressed, doesn't matter what, how we're feeling today, the beauty of the passage that we've read is that God has a purpose for you and for me for this year. For he says in Isaiah, "See, I am doing a new thing." And that is simply amazing. And even though the calendar has turned and we flick the page over from December 2025 to January 2026, the one good thing is this. Even though that page is turned, the good thing is that God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a wonderful promise, because despite what the world around us is doing, despite what our best friends and relatives and how close they are to us, it's good to know that he is in control and he is the one who holds the key to the future. And so this morning, for just a few moments, I do want to think about that theme, a new year, a new challenge, and a new hope. Because the calendar changes, but we so often in our situations and struggles, sometimes we seem the same. But yet we should and we must remember that we serve a God who makes all things new, which is incredible. And in this season, God is not merely asking us to make resolutions. I don't know what about you, why you make New Year's resolutions or not. I never did, because I could never keep them. But he's inviting us into transformation. And he's calling us to see through the eyes of faith. Through eyes of faith and expectancy. And so under this theme, first one, a new year, embracing God's gift of time and renewal. A new challenge, stepping forward in faith, even when it's hard. That's difficult. And a new hope, living anchored in the promises of Jesus Christ. A new year. Scripture says in Lamentations 3:22-23, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning." A new year is a reminder that God gives us time as a gift. We think sometimes that we're in control of time, don't we? But God gives us the time as a gift, not just to count days, but to make days count. I don't know what about you, but I love when you can see the sunrise every morning. I love to see the freshness of a new day. Because that sunrise, as it peaks its head up over the Mourne Mountains in the morning time, tells me you have another chance. The sunrise tells me that there's renewal, there's refreshment. And it's a bit like, I suppose, if your computer fails, you can hit the reset button and you hope that the whole thing fires up again. Sunrise is a beautiful experience if we're able to see it. And in every breath that we take, as we watch that sunrise, it's good to know that grace still abounds. Yes, grace is around us in large numbers. It's in a vast amount, and it's around us every morning. So I've broken each of these themes into three. I promise you, we won't be long. They're very, very short. And the first part is, we need to let go of the past. Isaiah reminds us not to dwell on the former things. And that means that we can't embrace God's new blessings while we cling on to the old stuff, the old burdens that hold us back. And whatever last year held in your life or my life, be it mistakes, which we all make, there's none of us perfect. Maybe last year we were full of regrets. I know I've had a few. Maybe there's been missed opportunities. Yes, we've had quite a few of those, both personally and collectively as a congregation. But no matter what it is, the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover it all. And God says in his word that we've just read together, I'm doing something new. That's like the sunrise coming up in the morning, isn't it? This is a new day. This is a new start. This is renewal. I am doing something new, but we must realize what was to receive what will be. Second part of this is to redeem the present. Redeem is to gain or to regain. And Ephesians 5:15-16 urges us, and this is what it says, be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. The world moves fast, doesn't it? It's always a common saying, the older you get, the faster it gets, doesn't it? Just had that chat with my sister last night. And the world is full of distractions. And distractions can multiply. Yet time redeemed is time surrendered to God. And this new year, we all should decide, and I'm talking specifically to me, we should decide that our schedules will serve our Savior and not the other way around. We shouldn't serve our schedules. And we should every day ask, Lord, what are you doing today? And maybe you want to develop that question even further. What are you doing today, Lord? And what are we doing today? What are we going to do today? And what are we going to do together? And more importantly, the question should be, how can I join you in doing that? The third wee point under the heading of a new year is this. Trust God with the future. We may not know what the year holds. None of us do. And it's a good thing we don't. But we do know who holds the future. We know who holds it in his hands. For it's the one who we trust. And we place our trust in him. For in Proverbs 3:5-6, this is what we read, and it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. We should begin this new year not with anxieties. And I know there's lots of people who are hurting in our church and our church family, and there's a lot of pressure on people. But it's good that we don't have to suffer alone. That there's an opportunity for all of us to draw closer to God, because he's the one who cares for us. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one that created us. So we should never face this new year anxious or worried or burdened with anything. But we should enter the new year with assurance. Assurance to know that we don't meet each day alone, that we do have one who loves us and cares for us. The second heading is a new challenge. Now, a new year always brings a new challenge. But as followers of Christ, challenges shouldn't be viewed as obstacles. Sometimes I have a bit of a mental block around challenges. And challenges should always be seen as opportunities for growth and for glory. And I suppose the Bible is full of men and women who faced some of the greatest challenges that we read about all of the time. Abraham leaving home. Esther standing before the king. Peter walking on water. And the one story I love continually, simply because I've got wee stones from the riverbed where David gathers wee stones from, and the ones that he slayed Goliath with. But imagine that wee boy, David, that young fella, confronting that big giant. That wee ruddy young fella. And he faced one of the most bullish characters in the Bible, Goliath. And in God's strength, what did he do? He defeated him. And every challenge became a stage in the Bible for God's faithfulness. And that's very, very clear when you, particularly when you read that story about David. It was about his full trust in God and how amazing that would be if we could just do the same. So I'm breaking this one down into three as well. Challenges reveal our faith. And in James 1, 2 to 4 tells us, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Consider it pure joy when you face trials, because challenges test and strengthen our faith. When we don't rely on ourselves and we have to rely on somebody else, particularly God, the challenge strengthens our faith. You and I don't really know what our faith is made of until it's truly tested. I know that was for me. I never understood what faith was until I was pushed to the wall and truly tested. God doesn't allow challenges to break us. He'll never permit that. But what he will allow, he allows challenges to shape us. To shape us and to help us to grow in faith. So maybe this year, for many of us, and I've no doubt this will happen, many of us will face challenges of all sorts of descriptions. There could be physical challenges. There will be family difficulties. And there will be spiritual battles. And we need to be prepared. But we need to remember this. What feels like an obstacle to us may be a tremendous opportunity for God to reveal his glory to you and me and to us as a congregation. Secondly, challenges refocuses our hearts. Too often, when life goes smoothly, we become a bit complacent. When things are going along nicely in those calm waters, you know the crack yourself, you don't have to think too much, and we come a wee bit self-reliant. Challenges bring us back to dependence on God. That's what I've learned with challenges. Not to rely on me, but to rely on him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And when we are weak, Christ's strength is magnified. And that is just simply incredible. Third point under this wee heading, challenges do require courage. Joshua in 1 verse 9 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. It's a difficult one, isn't it, sometimes? Because when we are faced with challenges, the fear factor does set in because we're human. And we crumble a wee bit and maybe withdraw into ourselves. But here it says in Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. How incredible is that message? If we've learnt nothing else today of her, and we take nothing else on board today, there's a verse for all of us to take out of this building with us. Be strong and courageous. Do not. It doesn't say try not to be afraid. It's very specific. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I don't know what about you, but I have loads of friends. I'm sure you do have too. And I love them all, and I get on really great with everybody, as you all know. Naturally, there'll be one or two doesn't get on with me for obvious reasons. Probably hard to do this sometimes, but maybe it's my height or stature. I don't know what it is. But I do enjoy knowing that no matter what my friendship group is, no matter what relationship we have, I know that there's one who will never leave me or forsake me. Our friends might wobble a wee bit. They may be there, they may not be there. They may have time for you, they may not have time for you. But this is the verse that catches me all the time. The Lord your God will be with you. He will never leave you wherever you go. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage, it's faith in action. And when God calls us to step out in obedience this year, to serve. I would encourage you to serve. Many of you do. And the work in this place is incredible. To step out and serve with courage. To give. To forgive, if needs be. To trust. For the beauty of this verse is that God will also supply the courage for you and me to do it. He tops up the fuel tank. When you need help, he's there for you. Challenge and change often go hand in hand, but both are necessary for our spiritual maturity. Thirdly and finally, that last heading is a new hope. And again, I've broken it into three, and it'll be fairly short and sweet. I don't have to tell you that the world is filled with uncertainty. We see it every day we get up and we flick on the magic box, as somebody once called it, that TV set on the wall or in the corner. The media, the news agenda is full of it. It's full of troubles. It's full of wars, unsettlement right throughout the world. It's full of illness. It's full of economic troubles. And sometimes you and I can quite easily lose sight of hope. But Christian hope is not just wishful thinking. It is the confident expectation that God is faithful in every promise he has made. And so I've broken this into three. Our hope is in a person. Our hope is not in people. Because people will naturally fail us. But our hope is not in circumstances either. But it is in Christ. Our dependence should be on Jesus himself. And Peter writes in 1 Peter verse 3. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus lives, our hope is alive. Our hope is not dead. And we'll be singing this at the end. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You and I can face tomorrow's agenda, whatever that holds for us. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. When the tomb was empty, despair was defeated forever. And every believer can face the future saying, my Redeemer lives. Can we all say that? And within ourselves, and as we leave this building here in a few minutes' time and walk out that gate onto Newry Street, can we go out with the assurance to know that no matter what the rest of the day has for us, and even tomorrow, because my Redeemer lives, we can face tomorrow without fear. The second little point under this heading is our hope sustains us. And Romans 15 verse 13 declares this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. Hope gives strength in the struggle, peace when we're under the pressure, and joy in each of our individual or collective journeys. And when you can't see the way, when our vision is blurred, maybe it's foggy and misty, and we can't exactly see the way ahead of us, all we need to do is to look up. Look up, because our hope does not come from the horizon, but our hope comes from heaven above. Thirdly and finally, under this one, our hope is shared. The world around us needs hope. And we don't have to look too far when we're thinking about this topic. We just have to think about our own wee town and our own wee community. And we could easily switch that wording around, the world around us needs hope. Our wee town needs hope. real, lasting, eternal hope. You and I are called to be witnesses of that hope. The Reverend Moody can't do it on his own. I can't do it with him on our own. Kirk Session can't do it alone. Church committee and Kirk Session and the minister can't do it alone. But if we all collectively get together and put our shoulder to the wheel, real, lasting, eternal hope could emerge for the people of this wee town. You and I are called to be witnesses of that hope, whether it's through words of encouragement, whether it's through acts of kindness, or be you just take the opportunity this morning as you're leaving church and a wee friendly smile to somebody walking out the door should demonstrate to not only them, but if we were to walk out through that front gate at the end of the service and the people seeing us from their cars and us beaming from ear to ear, then people would be asking the question, those people have got it. And I want some of it too. How amazing would that be, that wee light or example which we can bring Christ's hope to those out there and maybe even around us who are living in darkness and have lost maybe the will to live. What can we not do for them? So my words of encouragement to you and to me for this new year is this. Let us make this year not just personal renewal for you and me, but a powerful outreach. Personally, for us to engage with more people and to encourage them in the hope of the gospel. But us as a church family, how and what we could do together if we all got together and provided something really special and unique for the people around this local community. So in closing, I wanted just to say this in a few words. As we step into this new year, this new season, let us remember just this. A new year is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Receive it with a heart full of gratitude, just as you receive that most extraordinary, special Christmas gift that you got from a family member. Receive that new year as a gift with gratitude, as a gift from God. Every new challenge that we face is an opportunity for His power to be made perfect in our weakness. Embrace it with unwavering faith. Don't rely on ourselves, but rely on Him to help us deliver. And a new hope is not just a wish, but a certainty anchored in Christ. Live it with bold confidence, knowing that He who began a good work in you and in me and in us collectively, He will carry it through to completion. You won't have to look for it. It's there. And we should all go forward rejoicing, trusting that the Lord is with us every step of the way. What a wonderful promise that is. Finally, just to say that little short line in the verses we read this morning where it says this, "See, I am doing a new thing," said the Lord. See, I am doing. He never said I might be doing or we should be doing. It's assurance to know that the Lord said, I am doing a new thing. And our prayer should be, may we perceive it, receive it, pursue it, and praise Him in it, and step out of this place today with an unbounding confidence that we can go forward and share the gospel with those around us. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for the promise of a new beginning. Lord, teach us to walk into this new year with courage, faith, and hope. Do what only You can do. Make all things new within our hearts, in our homes, in our churches. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And we are going to join together now by singing that hymn that I referred to earlier on, Because He Lives. As we sing this hymn together, reflect on the words. Just don't sing it, but reflect on the words and let us think about how powerful they are and how we could exercise them and use them in our lives. Just to say thank you again to Margaret for her help and support, to Colin for the young people and the children's arrest, and to the AV team who do a remarkable job each week to make sure our services go out to the wider, broader community, which is really good. So thank you for that, folks. Let us pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you this day and forevermore. Amen.